know, is it possible Everett and Beulah weren't lovers, but siblings?
Oh.
Is there anything that indicated that they were lovers? Hello, Addison!
Hello, I was just playing. Today I'm in the Taste of Country studio, and I realized there was all these cords by my feet, so I was making sure I wasn't creating a fire hazard over here.
Yeah, a little different setup this week because it's CMA Fest in Nashville, so Addison's running all around to the country music things. In addition to her many, 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 many other responsibilities, no sleep for Addison, so let her know you love her.
If H-E-B wants to send me coffee, I'll tell you where my address is.
Heck, at this point, you'd probably take McDonald's coffee.
That is true. I'll take actually anything. This is going to be a long week, but I'm excited to pause on all the other responsibilities and talk about Dutton Ranch episode 4, which finally, y'all, after this episode 4, Billy and I are going to be watching at the same time. I had gotten the screeners for 1 through 4 earlier, watched them all, and so I have been itching for Billy to be on my same page.
Big shout out to some of our regulars who have already tuned in. Chad, we see you. Vicky, who's made it. She's from Canada, joined us for the first time last week during the live show, as well as some other names I recognize. Big Joe is in as well, who sent a message early that he hoped that I had the full trailer this time. And I'm here to tell you, Joe, I have something better than the full trailer for episode 5 of Dutton Ranch.
Interesting. I also don't know what this something better is. So I'm excited to hear what Billy has up his sleeve. Who knows? But first, what poll do you have cooking today on YouTube?
This week's poll question, who's to blame for the foot and mouth outbreak on the Dutton Ranch? Is it A, Beth and Rip, B, J.R. Simon, the cattle broker, C, it's just bad luck, or D, Beulah Jackson did it? You have a vote?
Cattle broker.
Second place. Overwhelmingly, 2/3 of people believe Beulah Jackson is to blame for the foot and mouth outbreak.
How?
We'll find out. I think we're going to find out a lot in episode 5 and some of these things. In my opinion, episode 4 was a big pivot. Like, it was a little bit of a down episode, in my opinion. But I think it's a huge pivot to something kind of catastrophic and new coming our way.
I do agree. It was really heavy. Like, let's just cut to the chase. What we're talking about here is the cattle scene.
Okay. I want to say something. You led me astray in a couple of different categories here.
Ow.
Well, first of all, you did not prepare me for what was coming with the cattle scene, which maybe you didn't need to, but I felt like I could have been used a little bit of. The more important one, though, is the Carter sequence with Dwight White, the beer drinker, and the leopard. You indicated to me that he was there looking for a job at Beth and Rip's request. And really, he was just kind of out there freelancing.
Well, because of what happened, because of the cattle situation, he's freelancing.
See,
so, yes.
All right, I want to get into some of the issues with episode 4 in just a second, but let's get to the cattle scene. Would you agree that this is like one of the top 5 darkest Yellowstone franchise universe scenes of all time?
It's the darkest, and all I saw was just so many dollar signs going into that hole. So much money lost. Well, I just kind of
25 minutes of buildup, very, very ominous, and I found myself thinking, they're not really going to do this, are they?
Yeah.
And then they absolutely did and spent like 2 minutes showing Rip firing shot after shot after shot into that ditch. A lot of people cried. A lot of people couldn't make it through the whole thing. And honestly, I was kind of right there with you.
I think for me, I kind of questioned, is that realistic? I've never been around someone. I have a lot of family who own cattle and own businesses, but I've never... I mean, maybe I've never even thought to bring it up with them, but it just feels really extreme. Like, could they not have given them an antibiotic or something? You know what I mean? Like, is that realistic where they have to kill off all the cattle? I think that's where, yes, I agree with you. It was really hard to watch. And also, I kind of sat there going, is this dramatized or is this realistic?
I think the truth is somewhere in between. I did quite a bit of research on this after episode 4, and I found that first, a couple things with regards to foot and mouth disease. First of all, there hasn't really been an outbreak in the United States in over 100 years. Canada and Mexico have been more or less eradicated for the last 60 or 70 years. So this isn't a real life problem. I think it's a real life problem in that people are still very vigilant about making sure it's not a problem. Like, I think it's still sort of out there, but we haven't really had an outbreak that we got to worry about as humans. You can actually eat the meat from a cow with foot and mouth, and you can drink the milk. The degree to which you're able to sell beef produced by a cow with foot and mouth, I think, is questionable. And is there even going to be a slaughterhouse that would... A lot of people brought this up in the comments, because I did the reaction video last Friday. If you missed it on our YouTube channel, I always do sort of an episode reaction video. And this one's was, did Rip overreact? Was all of this necessary? Cows can kind of survive foot and mouth. They're continued to be weak, and they won't produce the meat and the beef like the meat and the milk like they once did. It's also very expensive, I'm learning, to kind of treat cows, especially a whole herd that have foot and mouth. So all things considered, there's probably a pretty good case for euthanizing the herd. Do you need to do it like they did it? I don't know if that's the most humane way.
What would be the other way if you have 200 cattle?
Well, it's a shot. Like, episode 1, Doc Everett was ready to give that horse a shot on whatever he had.
That's true.
I feel like maybe there's another way.
That's true.
But it doesn't seem like just one man with a gun just firing hot lead into a pit. Like, that doesn't seem like that's good for anybody.
It was also really interesting what they were pouring onto the soil, I guess, to decompose the bodies.
Yeah, that brought me back to, like, almost like Renaissance Europe, when they would have these big mass graves in, like, the 16th, 17th century, and they couldn't bury bodies in the winter, so they would just throw lime on top of the bodies. I think that is what it was. It was to kind of tamp down the decomposition and the smell and everything.
That being a dark scene in the franchise, one of the darkest that we were just saying, or that we feel like is one of the darkest, what are some other... I think Jamie Dutton being killed is a very, very dark scene.
Sure. There's certainly a lot of them in Yellowstone. I think of the scene... Well, let's take them series by series. I think 1883, a ton of darkness, right? Like, it seemed like every episode, certainly Elsa Dutton's final scenes was dark. But even before that, you know, they have the leg amputation of that one immigrant, which was very dark. I think everything about 1923 involving Donald Whitfield and his perversions and those two women living in his house, that's right up there. Like, dark and unnecessary. And then another one I think of is Yellowstone, the office scene from season 2 where Beth is attacked and sexually assaulted and Rip comes in and saves the day. But where I separate things is that scene had a purpose, right? At the end of that scene, Rip blows in, saves the day, and that's the first time that he says, I love you, to Beth, because earlier she had said, don't say I love you to me, say it when it matters. At that moment, it really mattered, and it sort of sealed their relationship at that point. Is this scene involving Rip and all of these cattle, is this going to matter? Like, in 5 weeks, am I going to think, oh, yeah, that had to happen for this to happen? And honestly, a big part of my grade for this season of Dutton Ranch revolves around the answer to that question. And I'm not sure. I don't, you know, they're creative. Maybe there is a way, but I'm struggling to see what that purpose is.
I think the only, not only, one of the purposes could be is somehow we're going to find out that Beulah Jackson in Ten Petals is darkly, I don't know, because it didn't have to be the whole herd. I mean, we got rid of the whole herd.
Every last one, including the calf.
That made me really sad.
Yep. Yeah. It was... I took a lot of criticism, and it was a really interesting conversation, I think, in the comment section of last Friday's YouTube video, because I think people were pretty evenly split on this idea of, A, did that have to happen? B, did we have to see the whole thing like that? Was there another way? And I think there is some truth to a comment I just flashed up on the screen a few minutes ago that people who were uncomfortable with that probably didn't live on a farm. And I think that's probably true. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up on a farm, so count me in that category. But that's a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's a lot of people. So we can't really judge someone else's moralities or sort of expectations in that category.
I agree with that. You just grow up with such a different viewpoint because you're in it.
Yeah. I mean, it was a full 2 minutes. Like, they didn't just start shooting and then cut away. Every single one, complete with the sound of a thud of a cow hitting the ground at the very end. I mean, it was like,
but you know, that's
porn. It was tough.
Oh, I hate that statement, but it obviously is there. I think cinematically, although hard to watch, moments like that, though, in movies, TV shows, I actually think are really well done because it clearly evokes a deep emotion in us, like we're talking about it. So cinematically, I think it was done well. Cinematically, I'm not talking about ethically. I'm not talking about.
Sure.
Like, did it evoke emotion? Yeah. Yes.
One person even commented, like, that's Dutton Ranch's Emmy winning episode. I don't know. I agree, but I think that speaks to the point you're making.
Yeah. You were pretty passionate about Carter, which is funny because I didn't really have any qualms about the fact that, so in episode 4, Carter goes looking essentially for a secondary job, a way to make more money as a foreman, you know, as a just odds and ends helper, whatever he can do is more or less what he's looking to do. He finds this man. What was his name? I just see his face. He's very famous.
Dwight White.
Kind of sounds like Dwight Yoakam. You know that they were just coming. They couldn't come up with any more names. And so they're like, Dwight Yoakam, yeah. No, can't. Dwight White. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's just get rid of the D and the last name.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Beth told What's him to go to school, though. Beth told Bert. So, all right. So back up a little bit. Because first of all, we had the scene where Beth walks in on Oriana and Carter. Which was awkward and awesome as we wanted it to be.
It's awkward, but it's also not because Beth isn't necessarily like, get the hell out of my house. She's just kind of like, oh, this is awkward that I'm walking in on that. But I feel like she's not like a normal parent who would have reacted in that moment.
Yeah, you can see on her face too that she thought it was awkward. Like even Beth was kind of like, whoa, I shouldn't look at that. Like, you know, like that was.
I loved it.
That was pretty good acting.
I like seeing her squirm.
Carter's told to go to school. Instead, he goes to the feed and seed and gets this job. And I thought maybe he was going to be like a mole trying to figure out who planted the foot and mouth. And maybe he was like on some sort of mission. Not the case at all. He was literally just trying to get some money. And this old country boy is like, nah, stop what you're doing. Let's drink a couple of cold beers. And they end up just getting blistered, you know, for the rest of the night. Until, you know, they're talking about life. And then finally, Dwight decides to show Carter his secret.
Holy fuck. I named her Xena after the warrior princess, you know?
I will say the leopard's so unnecessary. I'm like, it's Tiger King meets, I don't know. It's just so unnecessary. And we were wondering in the very beginning preview, our very first episode, we're like, where does this leopard come into play? And that is not where I saw the leopard coming into play.
It was as forced into the show as I thought it would be when I saw that leopard in the trailer. And that's another one. What was the point of all of that? And I don't have an answer to that. Do you?
No. The only thing I can think is like maybe it gets loose at some point and maybe it gets loose at some point, attacks Carter. Carter's on life support. That's why Oriana freaks out of screaming like, no. Maybe? That would be the wildest like story plot line, but like maybe? We'll circle back.
Shout out to at Sims, who recognized the actor who plays Dwight White from Old Brother, Where Out Thou. That actor, I believe his name is Ray McKinnon, plays the guy who tries to court George Clooney's character's wife. And he's engaged to his wife and ends up punching George Clooney's character. It's a good scene.
I've never seen it.
But your theory means we're getting more Leopard and more Dwight White. You think he's getting a second episode?
I think we're going to see Dwight again. For sure. Why else is he there? You don't pull an actor like him. You don't pull an actor like him in. No offense to Riley Green. You can put Riley Green on Marshalls and he can disappear second episode in. Like, we don't think too much of it. We're bummed. Don't think too much of it. I don't think you bring this actor in and then be like, thanks for your time, bro. Like, you're done after one episode. No.
Oh, I don't know. They did it to Tom Hanks in 1923. And if you remember, Bella Hadid, the model, was in one episode of Yellowstone where she played Taylor Sheridan's girlfriend.
That's a cameo, Billy. That doesn't count. That's a cameo. She's a model.
Dabney Coleman, one episode of John Dutton Sr. in Yellowstone. I don't think we're going to see more of Dale Dickey, who played Avery, the woman who tries to shoot Zachariah. So, I'm not... They lost me a little bit of this episode. This is the first episode where I felt I had more to criticize than I did to celebrate. A lot of it is because of that sequence involving Carter, the Leopard, and Dwight White.
Okay, teach their own on that one. I think I might feel differently.
You okay? All right, fair enough. Comment? I think... Drop a comment here, people. Who are you, Team Addison or Team Billy on this one? Like, which way
probably
are you going?
Team Addison. They know it's right. Okay, let's...
I'll say one thing here. In the comment section, people are loving Addison Hager. Like, in
yeah, the they are.
The video, there has been a lot of Addison love. Like, Addison, ever since you started talking Texas, and the HEB, people are like, Addison, your hair looks good today, girl. What's up? Addison,
right?
You're so beautiful. Hey, Addison, call me. Addison, send me your shoes. You know, there's just
been a lot send me your shoes, Billy. You're not supposed to tell the secrets.
It's just been a lot of love. So,
do you need some love, Billy? Do you need some love? That feels. We can do that.
Feeling good.
Okay. Well, let's move on and talk about Everett, your boy Everett, or my boy Everett. I guess it's both of our boys. We just can't decide where he fits in the good versus bad.
One comment: maybe the Leopard will get out and try to attack someone, like happened in 1923. But that wasn't a good part of 1923. That was ridiculous.
Billy, but I'm just saying it could happen. I digress. It is on the record. We'll circle back when it happens.
With regards to Everett, a good scene between Ed Harris and Annette Bening, who play Everett and Beulah Jackson, slowly getting a sense that maybe they were a long-term love interest at some point. I don't know necessarily that they are married. Even really still have feelings for each other, but it feels like Everett was hurt too bad to be with Everett. And I'm kind of wondering if it had to do with this scene.
More than anything, I just want the ropes to rot so I don't have to hear it creak every time the breeze blows by. And part of me still thinks it's Levi out there. Then, you know, reality kicks in and that wound rips open again.
Levi. Son?
Levi. It's gotta be son.
Son?
No, when I mean, maybe, but when I first heard that, I thought son.
I did too. And then at the end, you see the tire swing. That was sentimental. It's a good, complicated relationship, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Annoying.
It makes it pretty relatable.
Yeah.
And then later, I don't have a clip of it, but Beulah talking to Joaquin, you get a sense that her story is much more complicated than we see too. And then in some ways, she's trapped when Joaquin wants to take over the ranch. She's like, I wish I could, buddy.
Yeah.
And her hair is, you know, she's drunk. Her hair is all over the place. Like, she's starting to come unraveled a little bit, or probably already was, but we're starting to see her come unraveled, I feel like.
I'm really excited for episode 5.
I'm as well. I got a lot of good stuff for episode 5.
Our preview?
Yeah, we can get into the preview if you're ready. Can we tie a bow on episode 4? Or do you have more to say with regards to that?
No, that was really it. I mean, let's be real. The cattle scene was really the foot and mouth. We spent almost a whole episode on that.
You know what I did wonder? What? Is how they made all those cows foot and mouthy. Like, how do you put makeup on a cow?
Can you do CGI?
I think probably. I think they probably did CGI. But, I mean, that's something I thought about. It's like, how
do you put makeup? The more I get to know you, Billy, over all these years, I love how your brain thinks. That didn't even cross my mind once, but it's important. It should have crossed my mind.
Shout out to the couple people in the comments section who recognized sort of that series of events involving the cattle. There's a 1963 Paul Newman movie called Hud, which had something very, very similar happen. I'm not sure how much of the plot sort of also parallels that movie, but it was kind of a good reference there for some of our, either our older listeners or people who enjoy some of those older classic films. Oh, here's a comment. Hydrogen peroxide, if not CGI. Whipped cream, says Vicky. I don't think it's whipped cream.
On the cows. Those cows would be having a heyday. Give me that whipped cream. Okay, let's move on.
Before we get to episode 5, we did get a little a podcast criticism.
Oh.
Yeah, now this touches on something you mentioned earlier. A couple of people thought us being on different episodes made the conversation a little bit awkward. And I'm going to agree with them to a certain extent, right? Like, okay. You weren't able to speak your full mind. And I was, you know, so we're on the same plane now. Edis and I are on the same episode. Neither of us have watched episode 5 yet, so we can speak freely. Go ahead. Yes, you in the back.
Yeah, me, y'all. I'm raising my hand. And I do want to preface why that was the way it was is because prior to the season starting, I was interviewing cast members. So just to do due diligence, I had to watch all 4 before we even started our podcast. So when I went to go interview the cast members, I knew what I was talking about. So that wouldn't be a normal situation. It's just because I needed to for prep.
I thought it was a little odd that they gave you a full 4, to be honest. 2 usually is the standard. 4 seemed pretty generous.
It did.
Maybe even unnecessary for the interviews. You know, I felt like you could have got a good sense of them in 2. Because Oriana's not really in 4 that much.
No, I will say, Mark. What is Mark? Zachariah. He doesn't really come around until the end of 2. I will say Joaquin and Zachariah, it was helpful to get. I didn't need 4. But the 3rd episode kind of helped. I asked some questions just knowing, like, the dynamics.
Okay, well, we're back on the same plane now. So those people who kind of, you know, I tried to respond. I think things should be pretty good from here. And, you know, I think we'll be able to keep to this Tuesday schedule, unless one of us has a day off or something coming up. But the finale is set to take place on July 3rd, which would put us on, like, I don't know, 6th or 7th or so for our final podcast for this season.
I love this. So the last comment that we got is from Fletcher V1, who says, Everett is clearly not being truthful, and I think Beth is going to find out everything. And then it says, who is Levi? But I do think episode 5, I know we're about to dive into it, but I do kind of think that might end up being true.
So episode 5, we got the 30-second trailer, and I watched that, and it was interesting. But then yesterday, Dutton Ranch Instagram dropped a 90-second long rest of season 1 trailer. And it is just overflowing with clues and intrigue here. So I have 4 clips from it, and we'll watch them kind of one at a time and break them down chronologically as you see them in the trailer. And here's the first one. This is a scene. Rip has just walked into the Jacksons' bunkhouse.
Who is it?
Get your gear together. You all got 10 minutes.
What has happened?
I think
this has got to be coming because this was in the 30-second trailer as well.
I think this has to do with something because, you know, Rip is now pissed about all the cattle and the bull and yada, yada, yada. So this has to do with that. And he probably thinks that they are responsible, they meaning 10 Petals. And so he's going to put them to work. I don't know.
I didn't get a sense that he just went in there and started making barking orders, though. I got a sense that he had permission to do so, and that comes in part from this second part of the trailer.
Give me a week. I'll know everything there is to know about Peeler Jackson.
Old Jackson family's crooked, top to bottom. They ain't ranchers, but they're thieves.
I want to know who put the body on my property.
He's never coming back, Rip.
Have a seat.
It's so good.
There's so much to talk about there. But let's go right to what we were just talking about. Beth and Beulah on a plane together. This episode, the description of it is that Beth makes her an offer. I think that she accepts that offer. And there's a collaboration here between the Jacksons and the Dutton Ranch. As uneasy as it may be, and they're both probably trying to kill one another, but for now, at least for a week, there's some sort of cooperation here. That's why Rip had access to the Jacksons' ranch.
Chad Robb says here in the comments, which I'm like, actually, that might be correct. Rip needed... Ooh, where'd it go? Rip needed a job, so he's the new foreman at the 10 Petal Ranch. Could be true, because right now we have no cattle on the Dutton Ranch.
Okay, fair. He's certainly a good foreman. I don't know what... They don't trust Chet. Old Chet got fired just a couple days into the job. Maybe.
Yeah. I think I would take Rip over Chet.
And it now looks like, though, Austin, who is the farmhand who was put in the hospital, is sharing all the secrets about the Jacksons. And was that drugs on the scale? I couldn't tell because it kind of had like a reddish hue.
Oh, I thought it was meat.
Like bags of drugs.
Oh. I don't know why. I thought it was like there was a lot of fat on it. I thought it was cow.
He's never coming back.
Let's see if I can get to that scene.
He's fast forwarding. Oh. Nah, that looks like meat and saran wrap.
No? Yeah, those are like a little I don't know. It's white.
But it's also pink.
I wonder if they're smuggling drugs in the hides of cattle.
That I believe. Could believe.
That's what I'm seeing there.
Okay.
All things considered.
And they are weighing it.
And later on in the trailer, and I don't have this clip, Rip does ask Rob Will if he's selling drugs. We don't get an answer, but that could very well be what we have there. Okay, well, there's something else. Oh, we didn't even get to the thing at the end there. Rob Will's back.
Oh, yeah, Rob Will's back. He didn't last long in therapy. Oh, my gosh. He didn't last long in rehab.
And he looks, in my mind, he looks good, sober, clear-headed. Does he not?
I mean, maybe. He still looks shady as heck, but...
Hold that thought, because there's a scene later on in this trailer that I think shows something else. Maybe another side of Rob Will. I'm wondering if Rob Will is not a good guy. I know. Hang tight. Ready? Here's number three.
You've hired wolves, Beulah. Wolves don't care whose hand feeds them.
What have you gotten us into?
You were in a hole, and so was I.
Also, I will take a moment real quick because people in the comments are wondering where the full trailer is. We are breaking down. This is the trailer. We're breaking it down piece by piece.
Yeah, I'm not going to play the full 90 seconds for a couple reasons. One, that's how you get a video copyright claimed. Two, a lot of people just watch or just listen to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, and various things. So that'd be unfair to them. And plus, there's so much there, I think we can kind of break down segment by segment. And in that segment, we see Beulah's partner, presumably Mariano from episode 3, and Beth's realization that she's doing business with someone who's very crooked.
Dun, dun, da, da.
All right, you ready for the fourth one? The fourth one's my favorite. Watch closely here for Rob Will in this one. and tell me what you see.
I guess I was wrong.
I love you.
Did you see him?
Carter?
Rob Will.
No, I didn't see Rob Will.
All right, I'll pause.
I guess I was wrong.
Oh. Right. Is that Oriana?
A tender father-daughter moment, teaming up, potentially going up against Beulah with Rip and Beth at their side. Maybe Rob Will has seen the light, because remember episode 3, Everett's like, he was a good kid. Good people don't just lose all their good. And Beulah was like, sometimes they do. Maybe there's still good in him, and he's turning on his mother, and that sort of brings down the family from within. Because he looks good. He looks sober. He looks like he's
kind of sober.
A new person.
Wow, that would be pretty epic. And a man that I started out hating in this season, I would actually no longer hate.
I am so here for this. So that's the trailer. Do you have any theories on what happens here with episode 5?
Well, we have a lot of things happening in our chat right now. So I don't even know where – do we touch on that, or do you ask me what happens in episode 5? I think episode 5, we're going to learn – I think the next right thing is we're going to uncover big things about 10 Petals, and Beth is going to use that against Beulah and the airplane that I would never want to be a third party of. And they're going to form either an alliance or something. And I think we're going to get the bunkhouse scene. And I think that's it.
I think we'll definitely get the bunkhouse scene this episode. I don't know if Rob will return this episode. That might be a couple episodes
away. He's not. That's too soon.
You don't think? Okay. Mm-mm. All right. You could be right. And I'm not even sure if we'll see Mariano, but I think at the end of this episode, there's going to be a partnership forged that's tenuous, and we're kind of moving forward with that. Real quick, how about this point? Fletcher says, what if Rob Will and Levi are twins? Maybe not twins, but maybe friends, cousins. Maybe this is a familiar relationship. You know, is it possible Everett and Beulah weren't lovers, but siblings?
Oh.
Is there anything that indicated that they were lovers?
Well, what about that scene on the porch? Well, maybe not.
It could be a sibling relationship, right? Like, if, you know, she touches him on the leg, but that's not so strange. It's not high up on the thigh. It's a knee.
Billy, I don't touch my brother's knees. Do I?
No. But I'm just saying some people do, right? There's touchers out there. People who kiss hello. It's an older generation.
Okay.
What if that's what this really is? Like, and what if there is? I do think this Levi character, his death, plays into the split between Everett and Beulah, and maybe even Rob Will is involved in that to a certain degree. I don't know. It's just rife with possibility.
Yeah, let's just spiral on that a little bit.
All right, here's a couple people are weighing in on these things. Boise Blue says, siblings not possible. Rosebud 7943 says, I think she had a child with them and the child died. Okay, so yeah, some great comments there and some theories. By the way, our audience right now, thank you very much for watching. This is like the most we've ever had on a live stream, and we certainly appreciate that. We're here every Tuesday. Tuesday, 2 o'clock Central. Come find us, be part of the conversation, or join the replay if you happen to miss us on Tuesdays.
And staff at tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave all your thoughts. I know we were moving fast on episode 5, but I know a lot of y'all were commenting what you thought, maybe the potential packaged meat, potential packaged drugs that was being weighed were. And I will say someone did note that when meat is being cleaned and processed, it is weighed. So... because I think I said, I think I said, oh, they're weighing it. It could be drugs. So
Mike Enders hates the Everett and Beulah siblings theory. Not a fan of that.
It's Texas, not Alabama. Go on.
That's a low blow.
That was bad.
Shot of Alabama. Listen. If you're from Alabama and you're watching, Addison and I didn't say it. It was Mike.
Yeah, we didn't say that.
We're laughing at something different.
Oh, man. All righty. Let's get into what was the trivia last week and who won. And then we got to get into this week's trivia.
Trivia. We do it every week. We do a trivia question. This is for one of the great Dutton Ranch or Dutton Rules t-shirts at tasteofcountrystore.com. If you're the one of the people, if you're one correct answer pulled from all correct answers, either in the comment section of the video or emailed to us. Last week's trivia question, though. Anna Dupree threatens to kill Dutton Ranch farmhand Zachariah because he killed her daughter Teresa. That actress, Dale Dickey, and she's been in dozens of films, et cetera, including a popular NBC comedy from the early 2000s. Which show and what was her character's name? Did you ever watch My Name is Earl?
No, I'm going to Google that, please hold.
On every My Name is Earl, Dale Dickey played Patty the Daytime Hooker. It was a comedy. Trust me.
I recognize him. What's funny character. I recognize Jason Lee, who played Earl Hickey. I've literally never seen this before.
It was mid-2000s. 2007, 2008, somewhere in there, I think. I didn't watch it a ton. I watched it a few times. It was funny. It was a good show. And that was a good character. She's just one of those sort of character actresses that you see in a lot of types of different things.
Wait, who did she play? Oh, yeah. I just found her, Dale Dickey.
Huh. Big congratulations to our winner who commented on YouTube, Rach Beth Huff. You were the one we chose, and I've already been in touch with you in the comment section. You'll have to email me, and we'll get in touch, and we'll get you that Dutton Rules t-shirt.
What is this week's?
This is an interactive trivia this week, or a media trivia. And the question is simple. What is wrong with this picture? And for those listening, it's a picture of the field after all the dirt has been put back over the grave, the mass grave with the cattle. It's at night. We see the machine, the dirt mover there. What is wrong with that photo? What is out of place with that photo?
I'm going to be honest. It looked fine to me.
There's one that's really kind of a bit of a gaffe, I think, on the plot of producers of this show that some people picked up on. But I decided it'd be fun to use it as a different type of trivia question. Staff at tasteofcountry.com or drop it in the comment section, not the chat. Drop it in the comment section when this video posts for live for real, and we'll give away another great Dutton Rules t-shirt.
We're going to go into Q&A, and I'm going to stew on it later. The first one we have is from Global Politics Man 9523, who says, anybody that has a problem with what they did to the cows is either too soft for a show like this or has never lived on a farm with any animals. We did talk about this earlier.
I might be both. I might be both.
I also think I'm both. I did grow up not on a farm, but I grew up in Texas, so I'm used to having to kill animals, a lot of different things, but nothing that, yeah, time out, what?
You grew up in Austin. Let's not pretend that you grew up out there on the range.
That's fair. Yes.
You grew up in Yuppie Dump.
Hey. Yeah, I heard. I've told you that my family has farmland in Lockhart, Texas. If anyone knows where that is, chime in.
Owns a house.
No, my papa, and it, like Papa Jay. I'm just saying, like, there's a part of me that like understands, but I think I'm also maybe a little too soft. The city girl in me is too soft. Billy keeping me honest. Okay. Champ stands a chance says, grew up on a cattle farm. It's extremely expensive to manage cattle infected with foot and mouth disease. There is no cure for the disease. The animal either recovers naturally with proper treatment, which is a big herd, which with a big herd is also a lot of money, or they die from complications. The risk of infected cattle spreading the disease to neighboring farms is extremely high, which can be devastating consequences or can have devastating consequences for the wider farming community.
This was the feedback I think we needed, because I even admitted in the video I created on Friday, like I only had a few hours between when I watched the episode and recorded that video. Like I didn't have time to talk to experts on the situation. Yeah. I did source the USDA and a couple of others just to kind of get a feel for the health risk, but I appreciate that. I think there's a lot of validity to that, and that probably explains why he did have to euthanize them. So maybe it's just a matter of, did he have to euthanize them with a rifle, or could, and do we have to see all 100 head of cattle get killed like that? That I'm not so sure on, but that's a great comment. And, you know, we really welcome sort of that professional expert opinion on some of these niche topics, because Lord knows the Taylor Sheridan Yellowstone universe brings a lot of niche. We had a lot of people get us through. Remember in Landman, we had some people get us through some of those geological concerns about drilling for oil out in the Gulf. Like we had like some professional or maybe just amateur, I'm not sure, like people able to speak truth to it in a way that was clear for everyone, which is one of the benefits of doing this live, I feel like.
I agree. Totally. The last one I have for us is from Larry Bailey, 42.6, who says, Marshall's cliffhanger. Tate is in Texas. Think about that. What am I thinking about?
This is interesting. So we referred to the end of the Marshalls season last year, and I was wrong in saying that Casey sold East Camp. He didn't. He decided not to sell it. He was going to sell it to this guy named Tom. And this is spoiling the how Marshalls ended, which it's been a few weeks, so if you haven't watched, I apologize. Tom takes Tate to Texas. I think I think Tom is a friend, but then they realize that Tom was responsible for some of the attacks on Cal and some of the other Marshall's team members. But now he's got Tate, and he's taking him down to Texas. So the theory is Tate's going to Texas. Beth and Rip are already in Texas. Maybe that's why these shows are going to cross over. That's where all the crossover conspiracy theories come from with these shows.
Interesting. Also, I want to clarify, someone in the comments said, by someone I mean, Chad Robb says, isn't Lockhart, Texas, a suburb of Dallas? Chad, it is not. No, it's not.
That too.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I think you were saying it is. Sorry. It's south of Austin. It's right out. It's by Post, Texas, which is about 45 to 50 minutes from San Antonio. So we're going south. I just get defensive. It's right by the San Marcos River. Okay. I'm done. Or it's close to. Don't out Texas me. I'm done. All with love. Thank you, Chad.
Can we get a don't out Texas me t-shirt made and send to Addison? If the good folks at the HEB could send that to Addison, that would be really appreciated.
That would make my day. That or Bucky's. I have Bucky's playing cards, and it's just like my most favorite thing ever. Okay. Enough about me. Oh, boy. All right, y'all. Staff at tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave your trivia answer, or you can do it on the YouTube live that will live on YouTube after this.
It will. It will. that's where it lives. All right. So now, before I get to the music, Addison, we're on a good streak here. This is where you get a chance to collect yourself.
Look.
And discuss and think about your outro for the show and really nail it and get the right adjective in there.
You don't have to waste time talking about that anymore because I've already got it ready for you. Boom.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm still going to get to the music. There's only two songs of consequence played during Dutton Ranch episode 4. When Zachariah was busy covering up the grave with the dirt, he was singing a traditional song called The Dying Cowboy. And as Oriana is deciding not to run off to see Carter, kind of stood him up for a date there. We didn't mention that. We hear Jake Worthington's Nighttime is My Time.
Y'all, truly thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate, review. If you are listening to the audio version, we always greatly appreciate that. Send this to your friend. Send this to all your Texas friends specifically. I promise the whole episode recaps from here on out will not mean just be geeking out about Texas. Alrighty, the Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise Podcast is another theory-inspiring Town Square Media podcast.
Quick list of other theory-inspiring podcasts on Town Square Media.
If you're going to criticize the way I outro these, I can definitely give you the baton.
All right. Great job. Okay. So we got three in the room.
Thank you. I'm doing what I can. Bye, all.